Fast Fitness. Introduction. Fit exercise into your busy schedule? That's as absurd as saying that there's 8 days in a week. First, you've never exercised before or regularly played a sport. Second, you've never been into the fitness crowd. And third, you're far too busy to even think about exercise. In other words, you're just not into it. Of course, your friends talk about it and rave about all the latest fitness craze, but you've seen it all too often. Some of them are on again, off again, the treadmill, the Stairmaster mania, and you wonder why they haven't shed the fat that they're desperately still trying to hide. Seeing what your friends go through and not seeing any results, you cling to the notion that your total lack of interest is justified. You're not the least bit inclined to engage in these circus-like contortions or do those mindless freestyle strokes in the water. That would only encroach on your already busy schedule of juggling family, home, and career. These three combined, husband, children, and work, are your exercise. Before tackling the idea of fitting exercise into your busy schedule, it might be better if we start with the concept of self-assessment and then familiarize ourselves with the disease prevention aspect of the exercise. Once you've accepted the fact that exercise is good for your health, then you can consider some of the ways that you can include it into your lifestyle. Section number one, assessing physical damage and accepting the importance of exercise. Lifespan and physical appearance. The average lifespan is 80 years, give or take a few years. The truth is, a significant number of people look and feel 80 before their time. They have saggy, dry skin, unsightly posture, an uneven and unsteady walk, and aching joints. If their outward appearance is bad, imagine what the inside machinery must look like. Most likely, it's even worse. Clogged blood vessels, heart problems, mounds of sugar and fat parked in or around all the vital organs, conditions such as diabetes, nervous tension, high blood pressure, and cardiovascular disease, and they're still silently brewing. If fitness authorities had their way, they'd create legislation to make exercise mandatory as soon as a baby leaves the cradle, not during the teen years when obesity is likely to strike. But fitness shouldn't be associated with any age. You can start at 10 or at 30 or even 50 or 60. Fitness should not be seen as the cure for an illness that you already have, but as a preventative maintenance. Assessing your fitness level. Brad King and Dr. Michael Schmidt in BioAge, 10 Steps to a Younger You, have devised a questionnaire for assessing physical damage to a body as a result of no exercise. We'll borrow some of their guidelines. Start with the question, how do I look? Do any of these answers apply to you? Am I overweight? Do I look like an apple or a pear? Do I have a spare tire? Has my skin become excessively dry, almost paper thin? Next, ask, how do I feel? Do my joints hurt before or after any physical exertion? Am I constantly worried and anxious? Do I feel tired and sluggish most of the time? Do I suffer from mood swings? And your last question is, how am I doing? Is walking and climbing stairs difficult? Do I have problems concentrating? Is running impossible for me now? Am I unable to sit straight, preferably not to slouch or stoop your shoulders? You've completed your basic assessment. Note, however, there are other exercise fitness gurus that have their own parameters or indices for assessing your body's overall state, turning you into a fitness buff. After going through the assessment phase, you're probably experiencing a rude awakening. Slowly but surely. In fact, slowly but surely was probably what motivated Denise Austin to come up with her popular one-minute exercises. She had two types of people in mind when she designed the one-minute movements. Number one was the uninitiated, and two was people on the go. It's a quickie society that we live in. We want everything quick, especially exercise. The benefits of exercise. If you make exercise part of your day, Denise Austin believes that you'll already experience some notable benefits. These include waking up in the morning feeling refreshed, walking with a gait, having energy left at the end of the day, feeling more optimistic about recreation, and sleeping more soundly at night. More benefits of exercise. The benefits above are general. Let's examine the more specific benefits of exercise on specific parts of the body, as described by Goldberg and Elliott. Exercise prevents heart disease. The average ratio of total cholesterol to HDL cholesterol, which is your good cholesterol, is about 4.5. If this ratio doubles or reaches 7, you double your chances of developing coronary heart disease. You reduce that risk by as much as 50% if your ratio is 3 or lower. The lowdown on cholesterol. Not all cholesterol is bad. You have the good one, which is HDL1 and HDL2, the not-so-bad one, which is VLDL, and the harmful one, which is LDL. To get your ratios, divide the total amount of your cholesterol by the amount of HDL. The lower the ratio you have, the better. Exercise prevents osteoporosis. 28 million Americans have osteoporosis. 80% are women. Only a quarter of this 80% know that they have the condition, and only half are being treated. The annual osteoporosis bill in the United States is $14 billion. Studies have shown that sufficient amounts of calcium and regular exercise build strong bones. While genetics may play a major part in developing the risks of osteoporosis, individuals can control some factors that will help prevent the problem. Peak bone mass is attained in your 20s. Starting an exercise program while still young, even if you live in the fast lane, will help you to avoid bone disease. Exercise prevents diabetes. People are still debating on how much exercise an individual needs, but for people with type 2 diabetes, exercising 3 or more times a week improves fitness and blood sugar levels. If you have type 2 diabetes and are overweight, exercising done with the following parameters would be of tremendous benefit. Intensity of 60 to 70% maximum heart rate with duration of 30 or 40 minutes, 4 to 7 days each week. There have been hundreds of documented reports that reveal how people's lives have significantly improved and the remarkable transformation that their bodies experience after they made the decision to take ownership of their weight and their fat problems. In fact, Diane Reinhart, former Toronto Magazine editor and writer, wrote in the Montreal Gazette on December 12, 2005, "What we're hearing about is waiting times in emergencies and operating rooms for ailments such as hip replacements, heart surgery, and amputations. That's a shame because the fact is, if we dealt with obesity, we wouldn't be facing the epidemics of heart disease, stroke, arthritis, and diabetes that clog our hospital waiting rooms and our ORs." Section number 2, how to include exercise. Feeling overwhelmed by the amount of time your friends and colleagues spend in the gym? Turned off by the idea of a tennis game that entails not only the hour-long match, but also getting to the tennis club, changing into tennis outfits, and then showering afterwards? You think that's almost 3 hours. 3 hours I could devote to nurturing my clients and expanding my sales territory. The bad news is, being penny wise and pound foolish does not work in any circumstance, especially where fitness and health are concerned. Are those 3 hours worth skipping during a given week when you know that years of optimum health can be yours? If you had a positive attitude accompanied by reasonable doses of discipline. A simple exercise program. Instead of ignoring exercise altogether, here's a suggestion for integrating it into your busy schedule. Think of exercise like you think of a major task in your office. Break it up into tinier components. Instead of spending 2 hours in the gym or in the tennis court like your friends, ask a trainer to divide your workout program. Here's a suggestion. Suggestion A, 30 minutes, 4 times a week. So, for example, 20 minutes of cardio, 10 minutes of weights. It's one muscle group. Example, your legs. Suggestion B, 30 minutes, 3 times a week. Could be Monday, 20 minutes cardio and 10 minutes stretching. Tuesday could be 20 minutes weights, 2 muscle groups, maybe your back and your abdominals, and 10 minutes of cardio. Wednesday, you could do 20 minutes of cardio and 10 minutes of weights, 2 muscle groups, maybe your triceps or your chest and your biceps or your shoulders. Suggestion C, 20 minutes, 5 days a week. Week number 1, all cardio. Week number 2, all weights. Week number 3, cardio on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And week number 4, weights on Tuesday and Thursday. Repeat the entire cycle when you get to month 2. Frequency and intensity. Ideally, you should gradually increase the frequency or intensity of both. But if you're busy and definitely can't spare more than 30 minutes a day, then increase your intensity. This means if your cardio involves the treadmill, take the notch up one level. If you started with level 3, then go to level 4 for month 2. For your weight training, if you started with 5-pound weights, graduate to 7.5-pound weights in month 2. And then on those days, when your day is not filled with meetings, try to stay on an extra 5 to 10 minutes. Be realistic with your goals, especially when you're just starting. Increasing frequency and intensity too soon can overwhelm you, making you want to give up. Variety is the spice of life. Another way to integrate exercise into a busy schedule is to vary the exercise routine. Variety promotes interest in maintaining your workout schedule. Without variety, boredom sets in, causing you to drop out. Walk before you run. If you're an absolute beginner, a full-blown workout which incorporates cardio weights, and flexibility may scare or discourage you. The idea is to start with small steps. Do one exercise segment at a time. Besides, very few people can accomplish a two-hour workout more than once or twice a week. Another way of doing it would be to integrate your favorite sport, whether it might be swimming or cycling or walking, during the week into an activity like yoga. Time management. If your schedule gets you up and running beginning at 6 in the morning until 6 in the evening, this day represents 12 hours. There's 24 hours in a day, and we're not recommending that you get up at 2 in the morning to do this exercise. But you could get up half an hour earlier and use the extra time for some type of physical activity. If you do this 3 times a week, it means you get 90 minutes of exercise each week. One easy way to do this is to do yoga in the morning. It requires only a mat and comfortable loose clothing. Or you can turn on the Jane Fonda CD or DVD, or buy a treadmill, like the foldable ones, that you can jump onto as soon as you wake up. Another time management tip is not only do busy managers have back-to-back meetings, they also have luncheon and dinner meetings to meet with clients. Assess each client. Do all of them really need to be wined and dined? Is an hour-long meeting absolutely necessary? Can't a deal be negotiated on the phone? See how many meetings you can cancel or shorten, then fit your fitness program into those slots that you've been able to free up. How about this? Instead of going to lunch with clients every day, why don't you schedule a lunch meeting for, say, Monday and Tuesday? This way you can incorporate a fitness routine into Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from about 12 till 1. A brisk walk inside or outside the office building, a quick swim in the neighborhood hotel pool, a Pilates course in the recreational center, lifting dumbbells while on the phone, they all help. Any of these exercises is better than no exercise. Your guiding principle should be to move as frequently as you can manage it. Cubicle fitness. Just as ergonomic experts recommend that office workers take their eyes off their computer screen every hour or so, fitness experts are advocating getting up from your chair and taking a brisk walk up and down the stairs. When you feel you need to take a break, offer to pick up supplies for your colleagues. Take the mail downstairs instead of waiting for the trolley, or think of something that you could put in your car instead of waiting until 5 p.m. That way, you force yourself to get up from your seat and walk for a few minutes. If you look into the private offices of some people, you'll see dumbbells, mats, and elastic bands. These are clues that they are doing some exercise while on the job, a good and healthy practice to adopt by busy individuals with hectic schedules. Family exercises. On the weekends, when you join the family in their activities, try to integrate exercise into these activities. If the children are into cycling, join them for a bike ride. Are they into swimming? Go take some swimming lessons or skating lessons. See if you can sign up in the adult section or take a walk outside the recreational center while you're waiting for them. Chores burn calories. Who says you can't burn calories while doing housework or gardening? Take a breather from your hectic schedule and devote some downtime to tending to your lawn, trimming your rose bushes, scrubbing the kitchen and the bathroom floors, or whatever. Walk, don't drive. Park your car far away so you can walk to the front door of your office building or to the entrance of the mall or the doctor's office or the post office. Section number 3. Busy traveler? You can fit exercise into your trips. Hopping in and out of planes is exercise enough, you say, but that's not the kind of exercise that will condition your heart, make your reflexes and joints more fluid, and keep your sugar levels in check or stop mood swings. Nor is it the kind of exercise that will make you euphoric after a good cardiovascular session. You need to counteract the effects of jet lag, artificial air in pressurized aircraft cabins, and sky fatigue. Suzanne Schlossberg says sometimes your travels help you recognize how humdrum your workout routine has become. At home, it's easy to fall into a rut, to use the same weight machines in the same order week after week, month after month, simply out of habit. But a trip may take the routine out of your routine. You may have no choice but to try strength exercises or jog in the pool instead of swimming laps. And you might find these new pursuits so enjoyable that you add them to your fitness repertoire at home. Some nice hotels have spa facilities and you can enjoy them while you're on a business trip. Reward yourself with a facial or a massage after a session on the treadmill or 10 laps in the pool. This is a great way to unwind for the evening and an added bonus for the individual on the go. Common obstacles. What are some of the reasons why travelers do not incorporate exercise while they're on the road? Number one, they're stressed out or too tired. Number two, they don't feel comfortable about working out in unfamiliar surroundings. And number three, they don't have access to a hotel gym. But if they make just a tiny effort to change this thinking, they'd be on the road to fitness sooner. Engaging in exercise allows you to get out of the bubble of meetings, seminars, and tours. Walk when on the road. When traveling, have a pair of good walking shoes, preferably trainers, so that you won't feel so daunted about getting from one side of the airport to the other. Having the right pair of walking shoes will encourage you to walk up the stairs instead of taking the escalator, to walk instead of taking the conveyor belt, and to transfer from one concourse to another on foot instead of taking a shuttle service. You may not know it, but walking these long distances with your baggage in tow serves as a combination of weightlifting exercise. Fitness while flying. Once settled comfortably in the plane, make sure that you have time for stretching and walking periods. If it's just an hour's flight, walk around the plane once and do your stretching at the back of the plane. If it's a 3 to 5 hour flight, try to get up from your seat and walk around at least once every hour, doing leg extensions and trunk or neck movements. Airlines such as Japan Airlines show videos of travelers who can incorporate flexibility movements while seated or standing. Take full advantage of these videos. The exercises may help you ward off fatigue and jet lag. A note about DVT. In the past 5 years, there's been reports about flight passengers, especially in economy class, suffering from DVT, which is deep vein thrombosis. The link between confining airplane seats and the deaths from DVT has been established by the United Nations World Health Organization. It's nothing to do with gender, risk factors, or genetics. Everyone is at risk in economy class. This should constitute a compelling reason to integrate exercise while flying in the sky. To make exercise possible while traveling, try to schedule your flights so you have some time for exercise when you get to your destination. Try to arrive during the late afternoon or evening to give you the best time to shake off the fatigue from the trip and have at least an hour or two of exercise either in your hotel room or the hotel gym. Important to-do things when traveling. Be fully rested before a trip. Have a usual to-pack items ready well in advance so you're not scampering for them at the last minute, depleting your energy levels. Time your sleep correctly. As soon as you board, get the local time of your destination and set your watch accordingly. If it's already nighttime in your destination, wear blindfolds and ask for a pillow and try to catch a few winks. Drink plenty of water. Wine and cocktails will only dehydrate you further. Note that humidity levels inside the aircraft are below 10%, so water is your best bet. If your job requires you to travel at least 4 times a month, ask your company's travel department to book you in hotels and gyms with swimming pools. Take time out from your travel schedule to insert a workout into your grinding schedule. Here's a friendly suggestion. Get up early in the morning and before or after breakfast, head off to the gym and do a brisk walk on the treadmill for 10 minutes, or use the rowing machine for about 10 minutes. This session is just to wake you up from your traveling stupor. See if you can walk to your business appointment instead of taking a cab. At night before going to bed, go to the hotel gym again and lift weights for about 10 minutes to complete your workout for the day. This way, you did your cardio, your resistance training, which are two essential components of your fitness program. Working out with friends. Another friendly suggestion, if you're traveling in a group, is ask a colleague if he or she would work out with you. It's like a game of squash or tennis. The concierge can give you local addresses of sports or recreation centers in the vicinity. When there's no gym. If the hotel gym is crowded or temporarily closed for maintenance, you can still exercise in the comfort of your room. Here's some exercises that you can perform. Turn on the TV or sound system and jog in place. Jump rope or do exercises on the floor. Number one floor exercise is the cobra or back extension. Lying on your stomach as though getting ready for push-ups, keep your hands on your sides with your palms facing down and your fingers pointed forward. With your hands, push to lift your torso off the floor and ensure that you're lifting your head, shoulders, and chest only. Keep your pelvis on the floor and your head looking straight ahead. Hold and then release. Repeat it 3 times. You should feel your spine lengthen. Joe Decker recommends pressing back with your hands and pushing your upper body up and forward. Do not tilt your head back to look at the ceiling. This puts strain on your neck. Floor exercise number 2, crunch, which is for lower abdominals. The lower abdominals are the weakest muscles in your torso because they are rarely worked, and they're the first to sag after childbirth and after menopause. This exercise will help. Lying flat on your back with your knees bent, cross your arms over your chest. Squeeze your buttocks, tighten your abdomen, and push your lower back onto the floor. Hold for about 10 to 20 seconds, breathing normally. Relax and then release. Repeat as often as you can without overworking yourself. Floor exercise number 3, hurdler stretch. Bend your knee towards the front and then tuck your lower body in towards the opposite thigh. Stretch gently towards the straight leg. Do not bounce. This movement is like the ballet movement when an arm goes above your head gracefully, which stretches from side to side of the trunk to increase flexibility. If you pick up an exercise book, there will be plenty of inventory of exercises you can perform while on the go. Pack this in your bag so you can refer to it for correct form and posture. Here's a tip. If you can't incorporate a tennis game or a trip to the gym, how about signing up for a dance class? Maybe ballet, jazz, tap, or belly dancing. If you've always loved dancing as a child, wouldn't this be a great way to get fit using exercise into your busy schedule? If you don't particularly look forward to being with the gym crowd, a dance class will help you stick to the program. A good motivator or an exercise aid is to invest in a good dance music tape or listen to select dance tunes on your iPod while traveling. When you get to your hotel room, you're pumped and ready to shake your booty. Yoga. Yoga on the train? Yes. A news report was published in the Montreal Gazette recently saying how many overstressed Germans still hide behind their papers rather than exercising. We're sure Americans and Canadians are the same. So these commuters are being taught yoga and relaxation techniques on their way to and from work. Instructors are now in wellness trains in southern Germany. This was an initiative taken by the Deutsche Bahn, which is Germany's state-owned railway. The organization decided to offer relaxation and yoga techniques to calm down an anxious workforce. Section 4, exercise equipment to go. If you're busy but want to integrate exercise into your daily routine, carry some exercise tools with you. Elastic bands, light dumbbells, jump rope, inflatable Swiss balls, the small ones, an exercise video or DVD that you can play in between meetings, yoga mat, meditation and relaxation music tapes, exercise tubes with handles to increase muscle strength, and a bow tie exercise, which increases your upper body strength. More portable exercise tools. The choices in other portable exercise tools are impressive. The Ankle Tough Rehab System. It's a set of straps made of heavy elastic and are cut and stitched to make two straps that lift over the shoes or bare feet. The set comes with four different resistance straps for light, medium, strong, and tough resistance levels. It also comes with an exercise manual. Flex bars. A lightweight portable exercise gadget, the bars improve grip strength and upper body strength and allow oscillation movements for neuromuscular and balance training. Weighted vest. A gadget to help you add resistance to your workout. The vest is weight adjusted with each weight packing approximately 3/4 of a pound. It's one size fits all, and the feature makes it ideal for both men and women. Steel shot packs conform to your body, and the weight adjustments range from 3/4 of a pound to 20 pounds. Buyer beware. There are some exercise aids that have been specifically marketed to walkers, things like weighted shoes to add resistance while jogging or brisk walking. Before you dole out your cash to buy exercise accessories, speak to a fitness trainer or orthopedist. Some products are just commercial hype. Check out the article on walking.about.com, and that can shed some light on the subject. If you're going cross-country driving and the trip will take 12 to 15 hours, schedule hourly stops so you can perform some stretching exercises or go for a 15-minute walk in the neighborhood. Exercising will energize you, diminishing your need for frequent cups of coffee and relieve eye strain. Use a pedometer. This is a beeper-sized device that you clip onto your waistband. It measures walking and running distances in steps and miles. Some models are more sophisticated and equipped with measuring features for pace, total exercise, time, and calories burned. A pedometer could motivate you to walk during airport and train layovers because you'll know how much ground you've covered and will encourage you to aim for a longer distance on your next trip. Joe Decker says he tested 6 models for accuracy and 4 out of the 6 were accurate. He recommends 2 specifically, Bodytronic's Q25 electric pedometer and the Part Ultrac 275 electronic calorie pedometer. Always carry comfortable shoes, a padlock, foldable light gym bag, and quick dry clothes. Keep these in your suitcase at all times so you don't waste time looking for them and repacking them. Keep a record. A workout log would be nice to monitor your progress. When you become pleased with yourself, liking yourself for the small efforts you've invested into improving your physical self, you may want to get a full-fledged workout program with a trainer. Show him or her your workout log so he knows exactly how fit you are. Eating fit. Let's not forget your fuel. Don't run low on gas, otherwise your body cannot achieve optimum fitness performance. Nuts, sesame snacks, protein bars, low-fat muffins, a generous helping of dried and fresh fruit, baby carrots, cereal flakes, and oatmeal bars should keep you on the go while exercising. If you're pressed for time to sit down for a proper meal, these portable foods will tide you over in a healthy and nutritious way. Section number 5, resources. The 1-Minute Exercise book by Denise Austin contains quick exercises. While quick food is junk food, quick exercise is not junk exercise. If you can afford to squeeze in only 5 minutes at a certain times of the day, this book is perfect for you. The book contains 1-minute exercises, but takes into account that you'd probably want to increase your workout duration eventually, so it includes 5- and 10-minute exercises too. Researcher and fitness expert Suzanne Schlossberg, who wrote a fitness manual for individuals on the go, did a survey of hotels and airports where the busy traveler can go to do an abbreviated or full-blown workout while they're traveling and waiting for their connecting flights. Here's some information from her work. Fitness-friendly hotels. Suzanne Schlossberg performed some due diligence to help the busy traveler by providing the names of major hotels and gym facilities in the U.S. An extract from that listings are the Four Seasons have 95% of their hotels have pools. All their fitness centers have cardio and weight machines. The Ritz-Carlton, 80% of their hotels have pools. Sheraton Hotels and Resorts have 95% have pool facilities. Westin Hotels and Resorts, all of their hotels have pools. Fitness-friendly airports. Schlossberg does not stop with a hotel list. She also provided a list with airports that have massage facilities. Here's a little sampling. Chicago O'Hare International Airport has a massage Inc. Level 6 Main Terminal West near the post office. Boston Logan International Airport, a relaxed attitude, Terminal B. Seattle Tacoma International Airport, Massage Bar Inc., Concourse C. As for fitness centers in airports and near airports, pages 36 to 38 of Schlossberg's book, The Ultimate Workout Guide for the Road, contains a detailed listing of these fitness centers to help you on your workout on your next airport layover, plus workout programs that Schlossberg labels the Time to Kill Workout, the Time Saver Workout, the Bare Minimum Workout are all designed for the absolute busy person. Conclusion. When you started reading this book, chances are you felt that you could never incorporate a fitness program into your busy lifestyle. Now, however, the chances are quite good that you can confidently, enthusiastically, get ready to start becoming fit. Remember some of the cardinal rules that we covered. Don't do too much at once. Start slow and build a foundation of fitness. Exercise for more than cosmetic appeal. Your inner body needs to be fit too, especially as you age. Plan ahead and stay in hotels that offer fitness equipment. Carry essential fitness tools with you as you travel. Eat healthy and properly so that you don't hit the wall as you become fit. Keep a record of your successes through a journal or log. Exercise with friends or other people who share a common fitness interest, and you can make new friends in the process. Manage your time effectively so you can incorporate a fitness program into your daily routine. Now that you've obtained the information that you need, the next step is up to you. Consult the resources recommended in this book, including the websites, and build an exercise program to fit your lifestyle. What you will get for the rewards of your efforts, statistically, you'll look better, feel better, have a better quality of life. Good luck and get moving.